This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد للإله سابغ النعم وخالق الإنسان من بعد العدم فالحمد ثم الحمد ثم الحمد لك حمدا كثيرا طيبا يا رب لك أعطيتنا خيرا كثيرا ربنا سترت عن كل الورى عيوبنا ثم الصلاة بعد والتسليم على النبي المصطفى الكريم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I welcome you to the final episode of what has been a beautiful and fascinating journey towards understanding Surah Yusuf. This is your host, Yasir Qadhi. Although we have finished the actual story of Yusuf and his father and brothers, today we will discuss the conclusion of the surah and its relevance in the context of the story. Stay with us.
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبَرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the final episode of our series towards understanding Surah Yusuf. We have concluded the story itself of Yusuf and Ya'qub alayhim as-salam, and what is left now is the conclusion of the surah and the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to end the surah with. So as is usual, we will recite with the verses themselves. Today our recitation will be from verse 105 all the way to the end of the surah, which is verse 111.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكأي من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها وهم عنها معرضون وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون أفأمنوا أن تأتيهم غاشية من عذاب الله أو تأتيهم الساعة بغتة وهم لا يشعرون قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ من أهل القرى أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فينظروا كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم ولدار الآخرة خير للذين اتقوا أفلا تعقلون حتى إذا استيأس الرسل وظنوا أنهم قد كذبوا جاءهم نصرنا فنجي من نشاء ولا يرد بأسنا عن القوم المجرمين لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون.
In these concluding verses of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a number of interesting facts. This section starts off by the verse وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا. How numerous are the signs and the miracles? How many are the quantity of the miracles that they pass by in the heavens and in the earth, and they totally ignore these miracles? Has it ever occurred to you how ridiculous it is when an atheist asks, what is the evidence of God? When everything around him shouts out the evidence of God. Has it ever occurred to you how foolish it sounds when a person says, how do I know that these prophets of God are true? When we see the remnants still of the enemies of the prophets, look at the tombs of the Pharaoh, look at all of these fancy civilizations that tourist industry runs and thrives on. Where are the people now? Where are they now after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused them to perish? So Allah says, look at the quantity of signs that they simply ignore. They don't even appreciate, they don't even realize the relics are still there. Look now at the kingdom of Egypt, when these mighty pharaohs ruled and the kings ruled, their remnants are still there. But lo and behold, the people and the civilization, the culture and the religion, all of it has disappeared. Why? Such is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, don't you pay heed to the signs around you. Day in and day out you see them and yet you ignore them. And Allah gives us the reason why. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of them believe in Allah. Most of them have some type of faith in Allah. But the problem is they commit shirk along with that faith. In other words, it's not that they reject God. Atheists have always been a minority of mankind. Why? Because man by his nature believes in a God. Man by his nature, Allah Azza wa Jal created us with something called the fitrah. And the fitrah affirms the belief of God. So it's not that they deny God. The problem comes, most of mankind believe in God, but they worship other than God. So look at the Christians, they worship a prophet of God called Jesus Christ. Look at so many other religions, if you ask them who created you, they will say God. Well then why do you worship others besides God? Unfortunately, we also have segments of Muslim society. They believe God created them, Allah created them, but they believe we have to go through the saints. We have to go through the righteous and the pious people. We have to go through the awliya to reach Allah. And this is dead false. Allah says this is nothing but shirk. Allah says, أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ. Do they feel safe and secure that the ghashiyah, which is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come? That is something to strike them with fear, something to annihilate them. أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْدَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Or that maybe the day of judgment itself will come suddenly and they have no clue. In other words, look around you. How many are the punishments of Allah that come? And even at our times, every few days we hear about some type of major catastrophe, an earthquake or a flood or a tsunami wave or this or that. How do you know that maybe the next time it strikes, it might not strike at you? Are you ready to face death? Are you ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are you so secure in the world that you live in? And even if a calamity does not come, how about the calamity of death? And that is a calamity that every single person will inevitably face. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. Say, this is my path. This is my way. What is it? أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I call to Allah. I tell people to worship Allah and believe in Allah. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ I do this upon a clear knowledge. It is not just blind faith. It is not just because I heard. It is because I know. This is basira. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي I and all those who follow me are upon this path. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ Subhanallah means Allah is exalted above any evil. Subhanallah means Allah is glorified above having a son or above having a daughter or above having a partner or above having any other being that is worthy of worship. Subhanallah means Allah is too holy to have any evil attributed to Him. Nothing but good, nothing but khayr. Al-khayru kulluhu biyadayk. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, all good belongs to you. Wa subhanallahi wa ma ana min al-mushrikeen. And I am not of those who worship others besides Allah. So here, the message of Islam is summarized. The message of Islam is given in one sentence. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ This is my road. I have a road, you have your paths. I have my path and you have your paths. What is my path? I call to Allah. Not just me, but all those who follow me. So the path of the followers of the Prophet ﷺ is to call mankind to the worship of Allah. How is it done? عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ With a firm knowledge. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, if you want to be a follower of the Prophet ﷺ, you too must call to Allah upon a firm knowledge. Whenever you find a person calling to himself, whenever you find a person saying, believe in me, or just follow me, don't ask why. I am your boss, I am your leader, I am your religious guide. Anytime you find a spiritual guide who doesn't bring you back to Allah, realize something is wrong. Something is wrong, because that is not the prophetic methodology. Here is the Prophet, and he is telling people to go to Allah. How about somebody who claims to be a follower of the Prophet, and he says, follow my tariqah, follow my way. What type of person is this? We follow the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and that is to worship Allah alone. This is my path, I call people to the worship of Allah. Anytime you find a person telling people to worship Allah, know that this is a man upon the path of the Prophet ﷺ. And anytime you find a person telling you to follow his tariqah and his path, then know that this is a man who has not followed the path of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ And we have not sent before you any person except that he was a man whom we inspired min ahl al-qura from the people of the village, from the people of the cities. Now what has this got to do with anything? The point of this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that the people of Mecca were surprised that God has sent them a messenger. Allah azza wa jal has sent them a prophet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is there to be surprised about? We have always sent before you so many prophets, and all of them were men, رِجَالًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ from cities and villages. The prophets of Allah, all of them were men. Now, some people claim that there were other prophets that were women, such as Maryam alayhi salam, but this is not the correct opinion. The correct opinion is that all the prophets of Allah from Adam up until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were men. And also they were from villages and towns. They were not from the desert. They were not from the Bedouin people. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we will talk about the final verses of the surah. Please stay with us.
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ
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 Welcome back. So we were discussing the theological issue of the sending of prophets, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the people of Mecca, why are you so surprised when a messenger has come that meets the criterion and that meets the conditions that all of the prophets before have also met? There's nothing surprising here that they come with a book from God, they come with the path of worshipping Allah alone. Anytime you find a person telling you to worship Allah alone, this is that he is following the messengers. And Allah says, we have sent before you all of them, they were رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ They were men whom we inspired directly from the peoples of the villages and the peoples of the cities. Now, as we said, some minority of scholars thought that there might have been some female prophets such as Maryam alayhi salam, but it appears that Maryam and others of that nature, they were the perfect women, but they were not prophets. And to be perfect is not necessarily to be a prophet. You can be a very righteous and pious person, but Maryam was not inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it was her son Isa ibn Maryam who was inspired. So Allah azza wa jal, it is the sunnah of Allah that the prophets have always been men. And also Allah says, from the people of the towns, i.e. that they are living and raised in villages, in cities, in towns, not living away from civilization or like the Bedouins live. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say this? Because most likely, some of the scholars say, that the Bedouins, generally speaking to this day, they are not a refined, civilized, cultured civilization or people. Rather, they have coarse manners, they have in them harshness, they have in them arrogance, and this is necessary for their own survival. Not that it is wrong, it is expected that a Bedouin is like that, because you have to be like that when you're living in the desert and you're going from place to place finding your food and water. This is a nature of the Bedouin, and this is not the nature of the prophets of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of the prophets have been from the cities and the towns and the villages, i.e. they have been raised in a culture and a civilization that allows them to experience a softer and a more gentle side of life, and that is the nature of the prophets. Allah says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, do they not travel in the earth? فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, and they see what happened to those who were before them. Don't you see all of the relics of the ancient civilizations? Where are they now? And this is a verse that shows us, whenever we see or we physically go to a place that has the remnants of a previous civilization, or we see such remnants on documentaries and television, we should feel and appreciate the power of Allah and the eternity of Allah. These civilizations were so mighty and powerful in their day and age. If you were to have told one of them that your civilization will be no more, that these buildings you live in, these palaces that you consider to be the best of palaces, they will be nothing but relics that people will come and visit, they would have scoffed and laughed at you. They would have said, how could this city be destroyed? How could this civilization come to an end? But look, every single civilization on earth has a temporary time. The greatest civilizations, they leave their relics, but they themselves go away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't you think about this, O people of Mecca? O mankind, that do you think you will live forever? Do you think you will have an eternity? And today we have nations and states, they consider themselves to be the most mighty and the most powerful, the superpowers on earth. Indeed, they might be superpowers on earth, but their time is temporary. And it is only a matter of time before other nations will come and replace them. And these nations will have nothing but relics that other civilizations will come. And they will say, oh look, this was the civilization of this superpower. This was where such and such a king, or such and such a queen, or such and such a president lived once upon a time. Such is the sunnah of Allah. No civilization lasts forever. No empire is eternal. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. That being the case, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shouldn't you think, shouldn't you ponder, shouldn't you realize that your life is temporary? Hence, worship Allah to achieve the blessings of Allah in the hereafter. And Allah says, وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ لِلِّينَ تَقَوْا, so the abode of the hereafter is better. These abodes that you live in are temporary. It is the life of the hereafter that is better. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, don't you think about this, don't you ponder over it. Allah then goes on and He says, حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ, until finally, when the messengers give up hope. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا, and they, the people, thought that they were lied to. Now, this verse has two recitations to it, and we didn't talk too much about the recitations of the Qur'an, but there are various ways that the Prophet ﷺ would recite the Qur'an, and these recitations are preserved in various, what we call today, qira'at, or various ways of reciting, and the qira'at differ in certain words here and there, and sometimes these differences have differences in meanings. So this verse actually has two different ways to recite it, that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite it. One of them is, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا, and the second one, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِّبُوا, with a shadda on the tha. And the meaning changes accordingly. The common recitation, which is the recitation that most of my viewers will be familiar with, is, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا, And that is how most of the Qur'ans that they will be familiar with are printed. Some of the printings of the Qur'an are in other qira'at, such as those printed in North Africa and Algeria, in Morocco, in some countries, they are printed in a different recitation mode. And so they have in it, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِّبُوا. What is the difference of meaning? The difference of meaning, if you recite it, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا, then the translation becomes, the people thought that the promise of the prophets was false. The people thought that they had been lied to. The people thought the prophets came with falsehood. Whereas the other interpretation is, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِّبُوا, the prophets thought that the people had rejected them. The prophets thought that the people had rejected them. Whereas the first reading, the people thought the prophets came with falsehood. Both readings are correct. There's not such thing as an incorrect reading. So both meanings apply. Allah says, when the prophets gave up hope of their people converting, and the prophets thought that they had been rejected, جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا, our help came to them. According to this reading, when the prophets gave up hope of their people converting, and the prophets thought that the people had rejected them, that is when our help came. جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا فَنُجِّيَ مَن نَشَاءَ, and we saved whom we pleased and we willed. So Allah Azza wa Jal is consoling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't think that Allah will abandon you. Yes, your people have rejected you. Yes, your people have denied you. But Allah's help will come and you shall be the supreme over them. And that is exactly what happened after the revelation of this verse by only a few months, literally. A few months, maybe 20 months, the hijrah occurred. And the Prophet ﷺ immigrated from Mecca to Medina, and a new phase and a new chapter began in the history of Islam, which culminated in the taking over of Mecca and the supremacy of the religion of Islam. According to the other interpretation, that when the prophets gave up hope of their people accepting, and the people themselves thought that these prophets came with falsehood, there is no punishment, that is when the punishment of Allah comes. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ, and our punishment will not be averted, will not be saved from a disbelieving and an evil group of people. Those who are mujrims, those who are evil, the punishment of Allah will come to them. And Allah finishes this surah by a very beautiful reminder. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, verily, in their stories, Allah says, قَصَصِهِمْ, many stories. And this shows us there are many stories within the story, right? We can follow each of these stories. We can follow the story of Yusuf. We can follow the story of Ya'qub. We can follow the story of the brothers. All of these different stories, the story of the wife of Aziz, the story of Aziz himself. Allah says in each of these stories, there is an ibrah. There is a wisdom and a point of benefit for those who think about it. And that is why the story of Yusuf is a story that needs to be discussed and needs to be pondered over and needs to be contemplated. Every single Muslim should read this story and think about it and benefit from it. And remember, the beginning was, in these stories are benefits for those who ask. All you need to do is to show inquisitiveness and curiosity, and you will benefit from this story. And the more your knowledge increases, the more that you understand your religion, the more you understand Arabic and the sciences of the Quran, the more you shall benefit from this story. مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. These were not tales that were invented. This is not falsehood. These are not fables that you tell your children. These are true stories. وَلَكِنْ تَصْدِيقَ الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. These stories affirm that which came before it. وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, and the Qur'an itself is a clarification of all things. وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ, and the Qur'an is a guidance and a mercy for all those who believe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this surah by telling us, these stories are not fables. They are not just things that we just tell you for no reason. Rather, these stories confirm who you are. They confirm the book. They confirm the very fact that you are a prophet of God. How? Because you had no knowledge of these stories. You didn't know what happened. And in another verse, Allah says, you weren't present with Moses when he was on the Tur Sinai. In another verse, Allah says, you weren't present when Zakariya and his people argued over Maryam. You weren't there. And in this surah, Allah says, you weren't present when The brothers of Yusuf were arguing over how to kill him and what best to do to him. So the fact that you were not present and yet you know these intimate details is a clear indication and sign that this must have come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah concludes this surah and these stories by reminding us that all of these benefits are present in it. That it is a guidance and it is a mercy and it is something of benefit for those who believe. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is a very moving story. It is a story that every single human being can connect with on many levels. Mothers can connect with it, and fathers can connect with it. Orphans can connect with it, kings can connect with it. Every single person can connect with the story of Yusuf alayhi salam on many different levels. There is so much benefit in this story. We can go on and on and on talking about the benefits of the story. Take for example the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam and the patience that he displayed and the trust that he had in Allah. And also every father will feel the pain and anguish that Ya'qub feels. How much he loved his son, and he was separated and departed from his son for so many years, and yet he remained optimistic, my son will come back to me. How about the brothers of Yusuf? Look at the sins that they had done. They plotted and planned to kill their own brother, and they didn't kill him, but they threw him in a well, and yet Allah forgave them eventually. If Allah can forgive them, surely He can forgive all of us for our sins, if we repent and turn to Allah. And of course, the most important character, the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, the fundamental theme of the story, if you are true to Allah, Allah will be true to you. Put your trust in Allah, worship Allah properly, be righteous and pious, and you will get the blessings of Allah in this world and the hereafter. Such, my dear brothers and sisters, is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Indeed, in their stories are much benefit for those who ponder over it. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be amongst those who read these stories, who understand them, who contemplate them, and most importantly, who benefit from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us live and die as Muslims, and may He make us amongst the ranks of the righteous and the martyrs and the pious and the prophets. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. وبركاته.
لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب.
صلى عليك الله يا خير الورى تعداد حبات الرمال وأكثرا. صلى عليك الله ما غيث هما فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى. فوق السهول وبالجبال وبالقرى.